You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
And our walk will be closer to thee. We thank you for these blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. In the book of Luke, chapter 19, there is a word from the Lord, and I wanted to, on this Youth Sunday, to talk to our young people and to all of us about living up to your potential. Amen. I want to challenge our children to live up to their potential, but then there are a lot of us who, as adults, need to be challenged, amen, to live up to our God-called potential. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, there you will find these words. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Amen. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with the man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. And then verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to save and to seek that which was lost. Living up to your potential. Thank you, ushers. Amen. Thank you, youth ushers. All of our young people, as they are working on this day for the Lord, we thank God for our children. Amen. We thank God for our children. I'm an avid moviegoer, and I like to get there on time for the first scene, because the first scene usually sets the tone for the rest of the movie. You can tell by the first scene what the movie is all about. And often in a well-written movie, if you miss the first scene, you'll miss little nuances that are important to getting the full import of the movie. I generally like going to the movies all by myself, because most people like to talk, eat popcorn, crumble candy wrappers, and the first scenes are the most important. Today, my brothers and sisters, I want you to pay close attention to the first scenes. The first two verses of this text, so you don't miss the intent of what Luke is trying to convey. There are a few things that come out in the first scenes that are important to the understanding of this text. Jericho, a man named Zacchaeus, his occupation, chief tax collector, and he was rich. I want to take a little time to expound on each four of these, because collectively they will help you to understand what it means and how you will be able to live to your full potential. First of all, the town of Jericho. Jericho is known as a place of fragrance because of the marvelous flowers that grew there. When you walked in the city, there was a beautiful aroma that emanated from the city, a beautiful smell and scent. It was also known as a place of trade, a place of big business. A lot of money was circulated there. And as a result, many taxes were levied and collected in Jericho. But then secondly, I want to look at the man. His name, Zacchaeus. The text says, in this place of marvelous smell, there was a fellow by the name of Zacchaeus. His Hebrew name means pure or righteous. When Zacchaeus was born, I would imagine that his parents looked into his beautiful newborn face and they said, let's name him pure. Let's name him righteous. And I've shared with you before that in biblical times, they didn't do like we do and just name their babies any old kind of name. Amen. They didn't name a baby part of the mama's name and part of the daddy's name. If you did that, don't get mad at me. I'm just saying. They didn't name children after drinks and cars and cities. Amen. Amen. No. Their names were indicative of their character or their destiny. Their names usually indicated who a person was to become or where they were going. And the text says that these parents named their child pure. They named him righteous because they had high hopes for him. They envisioned him growing up to be pure, righteous, and upstanding. Now, my brothers and sisters, most scholars also conclude that the father of Zacchaeus was a famous rabbi. His daddy was a famous preacher, and so when this boy was born, they hoped, they prayed, they thought that he was going to grow up and be pure and righteous. They looked at his face and saw potential in him. They saw in him what he could become, what he could attain. They said, this boy will be righteous. But the text jumps to the other side and says that this boy never lived up to his potential, because not only was this boy a tax collector, the Bible says that he was chief of the tax collectors. Now, that's not all that offensive to us, because nowadays tax collectors are bound by rules and regulations. They work within strict boundaries, but in the days of the text, tax collectors were the most despised, the most hated people on the planet. And Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. Tax collectors were so hated because they were considered traitors and Uncle Toms. You see, the Roman government had been oppressing the Jewish people. They were heavy-handed in their dealings with them. The Roman government levied high, unfair, and excessive taxes against them. And since the Roman government was in Rome, they needed somebody to act as their agents in other parts of the empire. Someone to do their dirty work for them. And so they'd come and say, whoever works for us, whoever collects these taxes on our behalf will be well compensated. You'll get paid. Tell your neighbor, they get paid, they get paid. Amen. We know you're going to be hated. We know that your own people will talk about you and ostracize you, but we'll make up for it. You'll get paid. And so anyone who became a tax collector for Rome was hated and vilified because they were helping the enemy, helping the man, oppressing their own people. Does it sound familiar? But not only were they traitors and Uncle Toms for helping the Roman government oppress their own people by collecting these high excessive taxes, but anything the tax collectors collected above and beyond the old tax, they got to put it in their own pockets. So if your tax bill was $800, they'd come by your house and say you owe $1,000. And they'd get to keep the $200. So depending on how criminal, on how conniving, on how corrupt, cold, and callous you were, you could really get paid. And the text says that not only was Zacchaeus a tax collector, but he was the chief tax collector, so he got paid. Not only from what he collected, but from everything his minions, all the people under him, collected as well. The citizens of Jericho hated tax collectors because they were oppressing their own people. They were crooked and corrupt. They were considered traitors and Uncle Toms. Matter of fact, they were so hated that they couldn't testify in court. They were so hated that no one would take change from a tax collector. Y'all don't hear me. Amen. Jericho's daughters were forbidden to marry a tax collector. They couldn't even come to the church house. They couldn't come to the temple. Tax collectors weren't even allowed in church. Watch this. Amen. In the temple, they would not even take a tax collector's tithes. Y'all know that wasn't in this century. Because we get it. Amen. Do I have a witness? They were considered the scum of the earth. And here is Zacchaeus, Mr. Pure, who became Mr. Corrupt. Here he is, Mr. Righteous, who became Mr. Unrighteous. Can't you hear the laughs? There goes Mr. Pure. There goes Mr. Righteous. Y'all know how y'all talk about folk. Amen. There he is, Mr. Righteous being unrighteous. The text also says he was rich. Tell your neighbor he was rich. He was rich, but there are things that money can't do. He was rich, but he found out that there are desires and needs that money cannot satisfy. Do I have a witness? All of us at times feel if I could just get enough money, I'd be set. Amen. Yet God tells us through this text that you can be rich and restless. You can have money and still be miserable. You can be a public success and a private failure. The text says he was rich. Now, can you imagine his hurt and pain to have known that even though he had money, he hadn't lived up to his potential? Imagine his inner turmoil. Each day his name reminded him of his unfulfilled potential. Every time he wrote his name, he was reminded that he was supposed to be pure and righteous, but he wasn't. He was rich, but he hadn't lived up to his potential. Now here it is. The text begins by telling us of a sweet-smelling place, a city of fragrance, but in this sweet-smelling city, there was a rotten stench because Zacchaeus lived there. Zacchaeus smelled up the otherwise beautiful smelling city because he was a nasty, wicked, unscrupulous traitor. A man who was supposed to be Mr. Pure but was impure. A man who was supposed to be righteous but he was unrighteous. His daddy was a rabbi but he was a criminal. And this wasn't how he was supposed to turn out, but he wasn't living up to his potential. He was falling short of who and what God created him to be. The late George Bernard Shaw, the noted, famous, critically celebrated writer, towards the end of his life was interviewed by a journalist. The journalist said, "Mr. Shaw, you've received so many accolades. You're so accomplished. You've met the most influential people of our day. Mr. Shaw, is there anyone you wish you'd met that you haven't?" George Bernard Shaw replied near the end of his life, "Yes, I wish I'd met the man I was supposed to be." Accomplished and acclaimed, seemingly successful, famous, but regretful. Because he had not become what God intended for him to be. And I'm talking to somebody here today who's at that point, someone who hasn't met the person God intended for you to be. I'm talking to folk who haven't lived up to your potential. Someone who had lofty dreams, high hopes, exciting expectations, but you didn't make it. But not only did you make it, but you're like Zacchaeus, you're far from it. You wanted to grow up and be a doctor, but you ended up being an addict. Oh, somebody in the room wanted to grow up and be a lawyer, but you ended up being a criminal. And as a counselor, as a pastor, as an observer of life, as a matter of fact, as one trying to live up to his own potential, I've discovered that each day dreams and hopes are dashed. How is it that we can live and never find the purpose for which we've been providentially planted on this planet? How is it that we can live and not be connected with the cause that we have been created by the Christ of the cosmos? How is it that we can be impregnated with possibility, purpose, and potential? And God directed me to this text, first of all, to re-examine my own life. But secondly, he directed me to this text because too many of us are living lives of quiet desperation, just going through the motions. Are you in here today? Amen. Year after year, same old predicament. Oh, I know I'm talking to somebody in the room. Same situation, just a different day. Broke in 2013, broke in 2014. Miserable and frustrated in 2013. And guess what? Miserable and frustrated in 2014. And every now and then, God reminds us that what we are is God's gift to us, but what we make of ourselves is our gift back to God. And most of us are not living up to our potential. Most of us have dashed dreams and shattered hopes. Most of us know God's not gotten out of us all that he put in us. And as I studied this text, I wondered, what can we do? What can we tell our children to help them live up to their potential? Well, beginning with verse 3, we get the answer. For Zacchaeus, a man stinking up a beautiful smelling city. Zacchaeus, a criminal and a traitor. Zacchaeus, a man not living up to his potential. A public success, but a private failure. Even though he was rich, the text says, here it is, he sought to see Jesus. Tell your neighbor, number one, if you're gonna fulfill your potential, amen, you better find Jesus. Do I have any witnesses in this house today? Is there anybody here that can testify that you didn't begin to live and have life and have abundance of life until you found Jesus? I wonder if I have a witness today. The very first thing we've got to do in order to really be fulfilled, in order to live up to our potential, in order to have real joy, we've got to seek the Savior. Not money, but the Master. Not success, but the Savior. Not popularity, but the Prince of Peace. Tell your neighbor, nudge your neighbor, tell him you better seek the Savior, seek the Savior. The text says he sought to see Jesus. The Greek word for see here is not seeing with eyes. But the word here literally means to mentally perceive, to know with the heart. He actually wanted to get acquainted with Jesus. See, y'all, other folks wanted to just touch the hem of his garment. But Zacchaeus said, I want to know the man. And in order to live up to our potential, we've got to want to know him personally. How many times do you hear it said that it's all right for mama to know him? It's all right to brag and boast about the fact that grandma and grandpa knew him. But is there anybody in this place with Jesus joy, with real excitement, because you can testify, I know him for myself? Y'all, we've got to want Jesus like the psalmist in the 42nd number of Psalm says, as the deer panted for the water. As the deer said, I can't make it without some water. As the deer said, if I don't get some water, I'm going to die. I'm going to be counted out. Is there anybody here who's glad to say, I woke up with Jesus in my life? I'm walking with Jesus in my life. Do you want to know why I'm not depressed? Do you want to know why I'm not sad and why I'm not walking with my head down? Sometimes I don't feel good. Sometimes I'm lied on and talked about. But is there anybody who wants to know why Reverend Garner can yet come into the house of God and yet give him praise? Because I've got Jesus. I heard Vicky Weiner say, as long as I've got Jesus, I don't need nobody else. If you're going to fulfill your potential, you better find Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. That's how we've got to be, like the deer panting for water. And we will never really live up to our potential unless Jesus becomes our priority. That's why we have so many miserable people. Right in the church, miserable folk. I finally figured out why some folk always talking about other people. Because their life is a mess. I finally figured out why some folk, amen, can't celebrate with anybody else, because they are so jealous and envious of the fact that God is blessing somebody else. But I think I got a few folk who found out that if I can celebrate your success, if I can celebrate the fact that God is blessing your children, if I just hang on a little while, my blessing is on the way. Is there anybody who's happy? You better get to know Jesus. Now, what makes this so awesome is that he was ostracized by everybody else. He was talked about by everyone else. He wasn't even allowed to go to the church house. But he heard that Jesus was a friend to sinners. Y'all, that was the mark of the master's ministry. Amen, that he was a friend to sinners. Guess what? You wouldn't be here if he wasn't a friend to sinners. Come on, take that halo off, amen. I know it's bright and shining, but come on, be real with me. Ain't nobody in this room sin less. Now hopefully you sin less than you used to, but baby, you ain't sin less. How do I know it? I know it because the Bible says all have sinned. Oh, y'all don't want to say nothing. Y'all don't want to say nothing. Oh, thank you, God. He wanted to know Jesus. And I'm so happy that Jesus was a friend to sinners. And I'm wondering if this Jesus can help me. That's what was on his mind. And somebody sitting in this room this morning, you're wondering, can Jesus help you? I've not reached my potential. It's haunting me day and night. I've not become all I should have become, and I want to reach my potential. It bothers me when I think about what I could have been. It haunts me, and I'm wondering, can Jesus help me? Well, I've got good news for you, my brother. I've got good news for you, my sister. He can help you. Amen. I want to tell you, he can help you. Zacchaeus heard about him, and he looked to Jesus. In our quest to reach our potential, we look to a lot of folk. We look to people who can put a good word in for us. Man, can you put a word in for me? Can you put a good word in for me? We look, amen, to lawyers who can get us off. We look to doctors who specialize. We look to bankers who have money. We look to women, we look to men, we look to drugs, we look to alcohol, hope and trust in people trying to reach that place that we're supposed to. But may I suggest that we look to Jesus. Zacchaeus was on to something, wasn't he? He said, what I need to do is I need to see Jesus. May I suggest to all of us that whatever we haven't reached or become, we need to see Jesus. We need to concentrate on him. I thank God David got it right. David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Amen. You get the right connections. You get in your social network. But while you're doing all of that, I'm going to look to Jesus. Is there anybody here who knows Jesus can help? Is there anybody here who can testify that he can make a way out of no way? Then give him praise in this place. So number one, he sought the Savior. But not only did he seek the Savior, watch verse 4. Verse 4 enlightens us to the fact that he disregarded decorum. He spurned the status quo. Watch what he was willing to do to get acquainted with Jesus. He broke social rules. The text says he ran in front of the crowd. I told y'all a couple of Sundays ago as we talked about the father and the prodigal son, how, amen, the father ran, and it was uncouth, amen, for a grown man to be running. And the text says he was outrunning the crowd. That's against the norm, y'all. But if that's not enough, he finds a slick sycamore tree because he's short. And biblical commentators have said that he was about 4'5". I would have been a giant. Amen. Tell your neighbor, amen. Pastor would have been a giant. Here he was, little short man, running in front of the crowd, uncouth, uncivilized, rude. But guess what? He didn't care. Because he was short, he climbed into a sycamore tree. Little short legs climbing up a tree because he refused to allow the crowd to get in the way of him getting to Jesus. Y'all know grown men ain't got no business climbing no tree. Recording when the last time you climbed a tree? When the last time y'all seen a grown man? Huh? But this grown man said, I don't care what they gonna say. Let them laugh. Let them talk. Let them say whatever they're gonna say. But young people, I want you to hear me well today. You're not gonna be popular when you see Jesus. Friends are gonna laugh at you and talk about you because you go to church, because you sing in the choir, because you drill on the drill team. But if you're gonna reach your potential in this life, you've got to disregard the decorum and say whatever I've got to do. I'm trying to see Jesus. And is there anybody here today? If you're not too mean and if you're not too proud, you will say, I thank God that I had enough sense to do whatever I had to do to get to Jesus. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Won't he heal your body? Won't he pick you up and turn you around? Won't he place your feet on solid ground? You ought to thank him today. I said you ought to thank him today. You ought to thank him today. He sought the Savior. He disregarded decorum. But then finally, verse 5 tells us that the Redeemer will respond when we make an effort. God will respond. The text says, as Jesus passed by, he looked up. He saw Zacchaeus. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. You missed it. You missed it because nowhere in the text does it say that they had ever met before. But Jesus, in his omniscience, knew all about Zacchaeus. Jesus never met him before, but called him by his name. Do you see it today?